B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Equal.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maserati here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download it to your smartphone. Great product. Stream comes right up, and you have all of our replays as well. Lickety-split, hour per hour, so if you miss any day, hour, segment, it's all right up there on the app for you when you want it. You can also just shout at your smart speaker, which Maz has like 14 all over his house because he loves playing with gizmos. So he goes into every room and shouts at his speaker, and it does stuff for him.
Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boom! And you get Felger and Maz and any of our great programming right there on your smart speaker.
Yeah, the best part of that, too, is if someone's watching on their TV right now, that's definitely just activated their Alexa voice-activated speaker because Maz just said, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So there you go. Now you got us in stereo. That's how you get us on that smart speaker. We got the Felger and Maz off-air show tonight, me and Murray. Facebook Live, 6:05, Facebook Live, Felger Maz off-air show. We'll talk about all sorts of stuff off the grid. Murray's going to swear. We've had some technical difficulties on that thing. It keeps freezing on us. I think we've corrected it. I believe I've been told we've corrected it. So either way, join us for that.
Okay? Too many viewers.
So that's everything. Maybe we're just crashing the puppy because it's such a freight train. Either that or we have cheap equipment. It's one of the two. in terms of the weather and your betting interest. This week, amazing. Maz went back and looked at single-digit playoff games since 1980. Single-digit playoff games. And that's what I think this is. No matter how many, highs in the teens, that's highs.
Right, you're talking temperature, right.
Temperature, right. Single-digit temperature playoff games. First of all, the road team is 5-4. Interesting. So it really levels the playing field. It may wipe out a home field advantage, right? It becomes a wash, which is another reason that's good for the Patriots. But the average number of points scored, the average total for those nine games is what, Miss?
31.4 points total combined.
31.4. 31.5. The over-under for Sunday's game in Kansas City remains 55.5. Feels like an opportunity.
Feels like stealing, right?
Feels like an opportunity. Because it just, that has to slow the game down. It just does, doesn't it?
I would think so. I mean, to me, that's the first thing that pops up is you look at all these games, and again, only one team got to 30 in those games, right? Like,
and that was Green Bay in 96 against Carolina.
Scored exactly 30. No one else got into the 30s. So, and think of it. These teams will test it. The last time they played, they scored 83 points combined. The Chiefs alone this year have averaged over 35, I think it is, or right around 35 points a game. So it'll get tested, but I just think if it's that kind of cold, great equalizer, man. You're going to see a rock fight. You will see a rock fight that's, in this case, at worst, a 2017 game.
And as a fan, as a neutral site fan, take out the fact that it probably helps the Patriots. As a neutral site fan, do you like that? Do you like that two of the greatest offenses ever are going to be in a rock fight because the weather dictates it? Do you like that? Do you like that, Maz?
I do. I love it. I love it because, again, now I don't want it every week. But when you get into this time of year, like, I expect it to be difficult. And to make it that much more difficult, to me, that tests mental toughness, grit, resolve, all of that. It all comes into play because you know what? You're not going to be able to do it the easy way or the way that comes most easily to you. You're going to have to fight for it. And to me, that tests, makeup and character.
On the other hand, in some respects, you could say it's not a real football game because it's about all sorts of other things. It's about your cleats. It's about the temperature of your locker room. Do you heat the benches? Do you stand by the heaters or not? Do you wear sleeves or not? Do you wear gloves if you're the quarterback? Do you wear gloves if you're a receiver? What are you wearing underneath? How does the team prepare you? How long's your warm-up? Do you stay out on the field longer than normal, less than normal? Do you get back into the locker room and stay there longer than normal or less? It's like all these other things instead of the actual football. And so that becomes less of a ball game, doesn't it? And again, I'm playing devil's advocate because I agree with you, but I'm just expanding on Perillo's point because I think it's interesting that you could really make the case that it's not a real test of where these teams are. Kansas City's built a certain way to play a certain game. And if you have a 5-degree temperature at kickoff, they can't play that way. Same with the Patriots. And so does that make that less of a game? It's not a level playing field. It is, between the two teams, but it's not in terms of the way you're built and how you can play the game. So it changes the whole thing. Again, this should be a historic offensive night. Instead, it's going to turn into a rock fight. Is that a good or a bad thing?
Yeah, I'm not a fan because I say if it's going to be that cold, I think it lends to more opportunities for something freaky to happen that normally wouldn't happen if it was 25, 30 degrees. In other words, if a guy's been taking, if Sony Michel has been taking a beating, it's been really, really cold, and this one hit was just too much, and out comes the ball. Or on the other hand, if it's, you know, Travis Kelce, it was too cold, takes too much of a beating, out comes the ball. Like, okay, as a Pats fan, I want to see it benefit them. I just want to see these teams at their best.
So now as a fan, like the actual experience, I love it as much as anyone. Get in your jammies, light a fire, and sit there on your couch.
Yeah, aesthetically, it looks
cool. And watch
cool.
guys play in the cold or the snow. It's great. I mean, who doesn't like that? That's lovely. That's lovely. But if you're interested in competition or the best team winning or fair fight, it's all those things. Do you like these kind of games? So we've been asking that question.
I just always go to that Patriots-Titans divisional game in 2003, and that's definitely one of the better Pats teams of this era, and they were lucky to get out of that game. It just feels like survive, get out of it. Hopefully you don't miss a kick. And the ball feels like a, you know, cement brick, you know, like I'm not a fan of those games.
So I just started to read Murray, so I'm sorry. Did you just mention the Titans game?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That did not help the Patriots that game. I mean, it's chalked up as a win, and you survived it, as Murray said. But you were much better than the Titans that year. I think that night might have leveled the playing field
definitely.
A little bit.
Without question.
Right? I mean, if that was a normal night, you probably would have blown doors on Tennessee because you had a great team and you were coming off the bye and all those things. But because it was such an extreme kind of game and it became about something other than football, I think that kept Tennessee in it. Tennessee at the time was a big physical team, a running team, and all that stuff. And I think even though you won that ball game, the weather did not help you that night.
No, and I was just going to say what you want about Jeff Fisher and whatever else, but those tennis, they were tough back then. You know, McNair, a quarterback, like the whole, they were tough. So, but again, I like that. What do you want it to be easy? Like you're going for a championship here. It's going to be hard. And so this makes it a little bit harder. I think you really find out. Like, I sort of like this test.
I think you should have to watch it outside in just shorts, Maz. You've been
listen,
this up a little too much.
No, if you're saying deep down, Maz, you're a sissy, yes, Murray, I am. I admit it. I would never, ever go and sit in the stands in a game like
so
this.
So, I was at that game in 96 in Green Bay. I was at the Patriots game against Tennessee. I've been to two Winter Classics. I've sat. Oh, no, I was in the press box for everyone. It was fun. It was wonderful.
That game in 03.
But what I'm saying
over my dead body was I going to that.
I didn't have to. I don't sit out in them.
No, God, no. Were you crazy? Please, right? That night of the Tennessee game, from the parking lot to the door, I froze my ass off. I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not staying out here.
So it's easy for us to say we're in the press box. But anyway, so that's the question. Do you like those games? Do you like them? We continue with your thoughts on that and everything else. Mike in the truck has been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, adding to the weather aspect, do you think they're going to be checking ball pressure throughout this game?
God.
Felger, I know, well, you know what I'm talking about with the napkins on the lap, trying to make sure the balls don't deflate.
Well, they should because, you know, you got to keep an eye on the Patriots. So I'm glad Blakeman's in this game because he caught him once. So I'm sure he'll be checking again, and if you do it again, he'll catch you again. So
I guess I shouldn't be surprised that this keeps coming up. You got Hurley writing articles about it. Like,
I don't think it's really come up. We've barely touched it.
No, but it is with fans. You see it online. I've seen, you know, people cracking up PSI. Get over it.
It's the kids' table.
I mean, this will be an extreme demonstration of what is called the ideal gas law in Kansas City on Sunday night. You'll get a lot of that.
We're at the adults' table here. Here's Tim and Drake. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys, what about putting Gilmore on Kelce, especially on, like, third down situations, like they did with Tlaib and Graham a couple seasons ago?
So I don't think you need to, Tim, because I think you can – I think if you devote some big bodies to him and, you know, say crack him at the line every time he – don't give him a free release and be physical with him, I don't think you need to put Gilmore on there. I just think you need to be physical on him.
I tell you what, I like the idea, though. I do every now and then. Now, look, you know, tell me who's going to cover him on third down. If it's Devin McCourty, I'll take Gilmore. And then you want to double the receivers on the outside, fine. Like J.C. Jackson, maybe he can handle some. I don't know if you want to get into the matchups. But to me, on third down, Kelsey's the one that worries me. Kelce.
And they'll take care of him. They always have. They've like, and Perlo mentioned Houston getting to you in some of those past games. I feel If Casey's going to rush Houston off the edge, I just feel they'll handle him like they handled Bosa and they handle Ingram. They handle those edge guys. If they send Houston up the middle and the other kid who keeps
Chris Jones
who keeps deflecting balls, like if that's up the middle, then that's a different story. And I'll give Kansas City, you know, that's how you should defend Tom Brady. And on it's just a long way of saying Kelsey, they've always taken him out because they've just been physical with him.
Yeah, Chris Jones is the one to me you got to worry about because he plays a little bit more on the inside. Ford and Houston will come off the edge, but Jones in the middle, that guy's a force.
Colin in Boston. Go ahead, Colin.
Yeah, so about Kelsey, I don't think that guy's very tough. You always hear Ninkovich talk about how he could just throw him around like a rag doll. And so when you have these ice cold games, that's what it comes down to, which is why I love it. I like when football players have to be tough. Like, sorry, I don't know if that makes me a dinosaur now that it's just a flag football league. But I like when they're freaking out because they can't feel their toes and every hit feels like a bone-shattering hit. I don't think that's Kelsey's game. And since Mahomes kind of like pulled up lame in last week, I don't know if that's Mahomes' game. And I don't know if little 5'6 Tyreek Hill can get hit without falling apart like, you know, Mr. Potato Head or whatever. So I think I give the Patriots the edge. I just think they're a tougher team.
Of course you do. It's a very objective analysis there. I think you can take out Kelsey whether it's 80 or 10. I don't think he's a tough player in whatever conditions. I don't think the colds, well, maybe he is less tough in the cold. I don't know. Maybe everyone's less tough in the cold. But I think they've been able to do that to Kelsey no matter what the conditions. That's something that goes beyond the temperature. I don't know what else would lead me to believe that Kansas City is not tough. I thought they were pretty tough against you. I mean, I don't mean like physical or defensive. I mean like they were way down in that ball game at Gillette and they fought you to the last minute of the game. Who does that?
And Paul was right. The Chiefs, rather, only got one lead in that game, but they pulled the 27-26. Then they went ahead. Then they pulled the 40-40. So I thought it was the leads were changing. They weren't, but they kept coming back every time.
Yeah, I think they showed mental toughness in that game. I don't know about physically tough. I mean, I don't know how physically tough you are, but
even just last week, considering their history in the playoffs in that building, that they immediately scored after the block punt for a touchdown by Indianapolis, and it was, you know, hot knife through butter type of drive, 10 plays, 75 yards, Mahomes was nails. That showed me something. Like, that might have been one of the most impressive drives of the weekend.
We continue with your thoughts. Felger Maz here on a Wednesday. Again, off-air show with myself and Murray, 6:05 on Facebook Live. We'll catch you for that, but right back to your phones right after this.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill, the forecast for Sunday is temperatures in the single digits, wind chill below zero. How does that impact preparations for the game and perhaps
playing out the game? Yeah, we're going to get ready for the Chiefs, whatever it is, it is.
Do you mind playing in severe cold?
Love to plan a championship game. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there.
Does it change the play calling? Does it make it harder to throw?
I don't know. It's Wednesday. We'll see what happens Sunday night. Right now, we're getting ready for the Chiefs.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. We've got Keith in New Hampshire. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, Mike, last week you were all over Brady about his concussion water, and you sound just as stupid as he does by saying you can mentally be ready for the cold. You can't mentally beat hypothermia.
When did I say that?
You said it earlier.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you said you can mentally be ready for the cold.
I don't believe I said that. Did I say that?
I mean, look, first of all, Keith, you do recognize, yeah, though, that the point is, they have to be on the field, and they have to mentally try to ignore the cold. You get that that's different than actually taking a physical hit and protecting your brain. You understand that.
You think steeling yourself against the cold and a brain bruise is the same thing? But never mind. I never said that. I don't think you can mentally prepare. I think you're cold as coconuts, and it affects you. I never said anything otherwise. I don't think.
Right. And Brady selling concussion water is a complete scam. So, yes, I totally understand that.
You know, I don't think you can mentally prepare. I didn't say that. I don't think I said it. If I did, I didn't mean to say it.
No, but you can fight through it.
Yes, you can fight through it. Yes, you can survive it. But you can't. You're cold. You're cold and it hurts and it sucks. That's what I believe. And there's nothing you can do to take or think or whatever plane you go to mentally can change that. We played the cut from these ESPN, the former players there, Damian Woody and whatnot. It sucks. You can't do anything about it. It hurts and you don't like it. Now, it's about who survives it better or who, you know, I'm going to say, quote unquote, ignores it, even though you can't ignore it. It hurts. But who can fight through it? And that's what that becomes. But
okay,
no, you can't like will away the cold. That's dumb.
No, I'm not telling you it doesn't exist, but I'm just telling you, I'll give you an easy and obvious example. In a cold game, bad circumstances, are you going to be Phillip Rivers and stay on the field and play on an ACL, or are you going to be LaDainian Tomlinson and put on your coat and go sit on the bench and stay warm? Which one are you going to be? Because if you cave in and you say, this sucks, I'm not going to play this. This smells. I'm going to go sit on the sideline. Then you're LaDainian Tomlinson. I'll take the Phillip Rivers guy every time.
Scott in Maine. Go ahead, Scott.
Listen, I love cold weather games. Big time. Love it. Bring it on. Best team's going to win no matter what. I love it. Here's my take. Here it is. I don't think they played Brady in October, okay? They haven't played Brady in a playoff atmosphere like they're going to play on Sunday night. Phillip Crimea Rivers went in there and beat that team this year. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, and Brady went into Tennessee and lost.
Objective take. It's okay. We've got Dave on the tee. Hi, Dave.
Hi, so I'd like to see Bill use a version of the defensive scheme that he used in Super Bowl 25 when he was with Parcells against the Bills. So they had a very high power air attack with a mediocre run game, and he actually invited them to rush for 150, 200 yards. He was dropping back six defensive backs to do anything he could to stop the air game. Now, I think that would work against his Kansas City Chiefs team. Now, they don't have the personnel as the Lawrence Taylor Giants back in the 80s, but and not to mention the rushing five or six guys against Mahomes, nothing good will come of that. So I think it's a decent defensive scheme. I wanted to know your thoughts.
You invite him to run, Mass?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I don't know if they'll take the cheese on that, honestly.
But then you win because then you're geared for the pass.
So are you?
Well, if you've got six or seven defensive backs on the field.
Okay, but I still worry about Kansas City's ability to get it in the hands of fast guys and beat you down the field. So, you know, I just think that I don't know if you have enough guys to cover all their guys one-on-one. Like, that would concern me if I'm the Patriots. They got a ton of weapons. I would do what they did the first time.
Well, go ahead.
Which is, in the first half of that game, they went with that amoeba front, and they confused Mahomes. He didn't know who was coming from where and when. So, you know what? You're going to have to do something similar. If you make it apparent what you're doing, Kansas City's going to score. So, to me, you got to confuse the kid.
Okay, here's something to consider on defense. The Patriots are primarily a man team. I think they played more man coverage than any team in the league. I think I saw someone put that stat up there. They're primarily a man-to-man defense. Gilmore, their best defensive back, obviously thrives in man-to-man situations. So they're a man-to-man team. When you play those running quarterbacks, you know, you don't like to play man-to-man. You turn your back to Mahomes, he gains 25 yards. So they're going to, you know, they had a bunch of those this year, and how did that work out? Trubisky ran all up and down their ass. Bortles ran on them like those running quarterbacks got them. And I think I go back and, you know, consult Bedard's notes. I don't know if they were man or zone there, but I think they're primarily man. And so that's something they have to consider with Mahomes. You don't want to go man to man with him and turn your back to him because he can run. Obviously, he can run. Scott in North Providence, though, I'm not worried about anything, I guess. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, you, sir. I have to say it. First time, third time. But I'm a Redskins fan, so everything is with a grain of salt. But weather, does anybody remember Dan Fouts and Air Coryell?
Of course.
Two. The best team didn't win there. Two, I haven't been following it that much, you know, this year, blah, 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 blah.
So, but Scott, I can't talk to someone who hasn't followed it that much. I just can't. You have to have followed it to join this conversation, okay? Chris and Everett. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. So I was at the first game when they met, and the one thing that stood out to me was the speed of Kansas City, and especially Kareem Hunt. I mean, he had like 15 touches for almost 200 yards, and I don't know much about this Damian Williams, but I think without – I know we don't care about running backs, but, I mean, the speed of a pass-catching running back gives the Patriots some trouble. Without him being in there in the cold weather, I think we can mitigate Tyreek Hill.
Hunt being out, Chris, thanks for the call. Hunt killed you the previous two games.
Yeah, he had 5 for 98 in one and 5 for 105 in the other.
And like huge back
touchdowns.
Huge backbreaking big plays. So while I think this third string nobody that gained 125 yards is going to be just fine in the running game, can Williamson, you know, take a wheel route, you know, 70 yards? I don't know if he's that kind of player.
No. So, he's not Kareem Hunt, but he can catch.
Yeah, but Hunt's speed, it really exposed how slow those linebackers are in plays like that. Like, he killed them. So that's obvious advantage Patriots.
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with him.
That's a break, for sure. No question. If it's just the running game, though, that Williamson kid will be just fine. Jack and Bill Ricka. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, you know, they talk about the Patriots advantage cold weather. You look at Michelle. He was born in Florida, played in Georgia. What cold weather experience did he get?
Hey, I said that all last week, and then he gained .125. So.
Yeah, but weather wasn't a factor.
No, it's true. Weather wasn't a factor, and he was never, you know, outside of that first series, he really had all those openings. So we'll see. I mean, he's still a rookie. He still figures to, you know, be a prominent part of the game plan. He should be, especially if it's extreme weather game. So I still think he's someone you got to keep an eye on in terms of ball security and all that stuff.
No question.
That's a true rookie. People like to treat Mahomes like he's a rookie. He's an odd second-year player. Sat on the bench for a year.
Yeah, but he's inexperienced, Felga.
Okay,
just like Brady was in 01.
Murray, I don't want to. I don't want to leave this guy on all day. So you know, I'll let you handle this call. Greg and Ashburnham, go ahead, Greg.
How you doing, Mike? I just wanted to get your views on the officiating crew for this game. I guess this guy Blakeman got a little history with the Pats, the Flategate. And when his crew's on, the Pats are like 3-5.
Okay, so I'm going to turn that over to Murray.
Yep, sure does have a history with the Patriots. In fact, one of the bigger games he officiated post-Deflategate, which you should be over at this point because if you're not, you're a big stupid baby, was the AFC Championship game last year when he called, I believe it was 9 to the tune of over 100 yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars, including a controversial play, the Miles Jack non-fumble return. That was called down, benefited the Patriots, and the Patriots were called for, how many was it in that game? One penalty in the AFC Championship game. Cleet Blakeman officiated that game, the same Cleet Blakeman that you and many other big stupid babies are whining about because he's officiating this game in Kansas City. Yeah, it's a conspiracy. Are you kidding me with this?
Yeah, the league's out to get us. Cleet Snakeman is doing it.
Look at him slither in the cold.
He is the little rat. He's a snake. He's going to bite us. He's going to screw us with his rattle tail. Cleet Snakeman.
They did it. The punishment was too much. They were too heavy-handed, was the league. And even in the 4-game suspension that year where Brady was suspended, they won the Super Bowl. They won.
I'm telling you, Murray's right. This is a thing. It's been on the web.
Well, get off the web.
What?
It's very simple.
I'm sorry. I like the kids' table.
Get off the internet.
Okay? But these whining, sniveling little wuss bags.
Get off the net.
Oh, God.
You can't. It's 2019. We're not Amish.
I'm not. I barely.
Yeah,
know.
And I make references, and so does the rest of the world when they call and you're like, huh?
Exactly.
I can't even believe you found a ball gag online.
That I was able to do. Google it. Google the ball gag. It comes up. As I say all day, we're at the adults table. Let me reach for my ball gag here. Play around with my ball gag more. But no, it's just, please. It's barely touched my radar. I think you drew a good ref. I think he's a good ref. I think he really helped you in that AFC title game last year.
He totally did.
And I think he did a good job that night. You were deflating balls. You were doing it. You all admit it. And so he was just doing his job. He's a competent, solid ref.
Yeah, the good news is we don't have to take the air on this game because it's going to be real cold.
Cleet Snakeman.
Here, on that note, Murray, give us an update and we're right back.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
You know, I play in a lot of games over the years where weather's a factor. So, you know, you just dress for it. And, you know, hopefully our blood's thickened up enough here being in the Northeast to deal with some of the cold, which I think it has. And it'll be colder Sunday than it's been at any point this year. So have a little mental toughness, a little physical toughness. And, you know, just deal with it the best you can.
Well, to that previous caller, is Brady implying that you can will the cold away?
Oh, no, when he said, hopefully our blood is thicker from having played up here, I think he actually believes that he has conditioned his blood to thicken when the weather gets colder. I mean, I'm sure that he trains himself for that.
Calloused his brain against contact.
Yeah.
So he could, obviously, if you can...
If anyone can do it, Tom can.
All right, exactly. I mean, if you could get your brain to morph into something else, couldn't you affect your blood the same way?
Yeah, a little cornstarch, it'll thicken right up. No problem. Just go, you'll be fine.
His blood becomes gravy.
Yeah, Felger, he doesn't have normal blood. Brady has different kind of blood. It's thicker.
We're going to wrap it up with your phone calls.
Like
here.
My head.
We're heading into, we got Bruins tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Celtics on 105.7. I said it before, I'll say it again. I did have a caller on the line before that said Felger's moronic Celtics take. I think he's referring to what I'm about to say, what I said earlier, that I think this is a Celtics season. I think this is a Celtics season. Tonight against the Raptors, national TV, best record in basketball. You are a hot mess. Hot mess. You lose three straight on the road to horrible basketball teams, and you come off the plane hating each other. Fingers pointing, calling each other out in the media. Kyrie Irving, mental health day at best. Yesterday, if not an outright suspension, the team's a mess. Here comes TNT and Charles Barkley and that whole crew. That who's got the game tonight, right?
Yeah.
It's a TNT game.
It's an 8 o'clock game, yeah.
So you got the full Barkley tonight, 8 p.m., best record in basketball. If you don't get up for this one and win this game, it's over. It's over. You want to make a commercial of this later? You can. It's over. And not just from, there's a practical standpoint of the standings. You'll then be, I think, 8 games behind Toronto, maybe 9?
Yeah, I think tonight you could kiss it. The number one seed might be gone anyway. But tonight, if you're down 8 with 38 to go.
I think that's it.
Kiss it goodbye.
You kiss it goodbye. And not just that, you're 7 behind Milwaukee. Milwaukee, I think, plays tonight on somewhere easy. Memphis. If the Bucks win, you're 8 behind them or 7 behind them would do the math. So now you're chasing Indiana, who you're 4 behind. If you lose tonight, it's 4.5 with 38 to go. And even just catching Indiana, if you're the 3 seed, the last two rounds are on the road. Right now, you're 2.5 behind Philly, for crying out loud, in the 4-5 spot. You're on the road in the first round. You've been in the 5 seed for over a month, and it's going to take a while to even catch Philly, even if you get your act together. But if you lose tonight, I think from a seeding standpoint, it's over. And I think just emotionally, you're teetering as it is. You came off that plane hating each other and guys looking at each other and calling each other out. And you've now had, like, you've cycled to 2, 3, 4 team meetings and come to Jesus moments and resets. Like, you've done this now a couple of times. At some point, the guys are likely to say, I'm done listening to you, or it's over, it just ain't happening this year, or, even worse, F you, Kyrie, would you shut the hell up? I'll give you Felger's ball gag already. Shut up. And there's like that's what a loss, if especially if they get blown out. That's it.
I have no idea what to expect from them tonight. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they came out and played one of their better games of the year and they won by 17 or they came out and lose by 18.
And if they do that, this is, you can only lose tonight, folks. I don't think that saves your season necessarily. It's a start.
Right, because if they win tonight, it's going to be because of a factor you're going to hate tomorrow taking calls on, and that's Aaron Bain's return.
Oh, yeah, please. Okay.
I mean, well, defensively, without him, they sucked. So,
I mean, he'll help.
May factor in.
He'll help, fine. But all it does is stave off the it's over conversation. You've had several good wins this year, especially at home against these teams. Against this team. And then what's happened? You've reverted. So not only do I need to see you win tonight, I need to see you take care of the next 5, and then I think you have Golden State at home. So let's see if you win tonight, what you do with the next 5 easy games, and then Golden State, and then we'll reassess. But if you lose tonight, I don't think you can recover from it. That's it.
Yeah, and the other thing, again, the gap would be 8. Because to me, the top seed's important. You'd be 8 behind Toronto, and they would have beaten you 2 out of 3 with the last one up there, where you get your ass kicked every time you play.
I haven't won in 14 times.
So it's like the Bruins and the Capitals, for crying out loud.
Okay, so there's your Celtics reset. You want to weigh in on that quickly? You can do that. Bruins, David Backus benched. $6 million on the bench. He's not so slowly become Matt Bolesky, which is kind of scary. 6 million beans a year. I think he's on the books for 2 or 3 more years.
2 more after this one.
Ay, yi, yi.
It's a 5-year deal. This is year 3.
Oh, boy. And he's just about done. A great guy, great pro. I don't mean to dump on him. He is what he is, but he's like just about cashed. He's just about cashed out. He's done. And you're on the hook for 2 more years at $6 million per. That is a tough contract.
Tell you what, if I were the Bruins, I'd think about a buyout there.
Yeah, oh, believe me, they are. They have.
I mean, so you'd have, you know, I'm not going to do the math. But the other thing is, if I were Backus, I don't think that that's a bad outcome. Not just for the money.
Stop. Enough, David. That's right.
Yeah, you've taken enough headshots. Like, what are you doing? You know, again, I'm starting to feel bad for the guy because it's not his fault that they gave him 5 years and $30 million.
See, he was a great pro.
And he gave his body to his job. I mean, he did. He gave up his physical well-being to play hockey the way he had to play it. Like, you'll never hear me rip guys like that who leave it all out there. But if I'm him, I'd say this might not be such a bad thing.
Okay, there's your Celtics and Bruins resets. Bruins tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. John and Waltham on Pat's Chiefs. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I want to talk about a stat from Kerry Burns. I haven't heard you guys talk about in a while.
Yes,
passer
please.
Rating differential.
Bring it up. I'm curious about this.
It's like the biggest predictor of Super Bowl winners compared to any stat.
Agreed.
Ever. And
I believe in it big time. John, before you go on, I believe in it implicitly. I think it's a great stat and a great indicator. I'm a full buyer on that passing rating differential.
So I'm too cheap to pay for the subscription, the Cold Hard Facts, but I did it on my own. And for this season, KC's passer rating differential is 20 compared to the Pats 3. But in the last 3 games, KC's is only 10 compared to the Pats 31. Does that tell you anything about how they've been playing recently?
So historically,
anything from that?
Yeah, so John, what Kerry does, he doesn't parse it out by the last 3 or the last 4. He does season rankings. And that's a excellent harbinger for the Patriots and a horrible one for the Chiefs. And again, I believe in his passer rating differential stat implicitly. I think it's an excellent stat, and it really bears out over the years. Because it really, it also just sort of feeds into what I believe the game is. Passing and stopping the pass. That's it. That's what the game has become. This year, maybe more than ever. And all the running back stuff is just, again, kids' table kind of stuff.
See, but the 3-game sample is too small because you got Buffalo and the Jets in there.
That's what I just said.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said it a different way. Kerry never does that. He never says, this is what the passer rating differential is this month. And he also is clear in saying that it's not a per-game indicator, meaning you can't go into a football game and say they have a passer rating differential of this and they have a passer rating differential of that. Therefore, this team should be favored in that specific game. It's really just more about, well, it's sort of like run differential in baseball or something. It's like, it's just historically, the teams that are near the top in that stat fare well in terms of championships. So where do they rank for the season?
For the season, Kansas City's 4th, the Patriots are 10th.
Okay, sorry, call. That's what happens when you try and do it on your own. So they're both good. They're both good. Tell me where all 4 teams rank.
Okay, so here on this list, it says Los Angeles twice and doesn't distinguish from the Chargers and the Rams. So New Orleans is 2nd, Los Angeles is 3rd. And then again, 6th. So one of those is the Rams.
Yep.
Kansas City's 4th. The Patriots are 10th. They're the last of the four playoff
teams.
It
just shows you, like, the top, you know, they're all top 10 team. That stat is, the teams that are the best in that stat are always at this level.
Right. Now, oddly enough, the team that was number 1 in the league this year is Minnesota. But then beyond that, New Orleans, L.A., Kansas City, Philly, L.A., and then Jacksonville, Seattle, Detroit, New England are the top 10.
I just want to make sure you have the right year.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
Nope. You know what? Sorry, I don't have the right year.
Oh, you see? I had to, can we, how long's our delay? Can we wipe out that whole take I just had?
Yeah, please wipe it out.
I don't think the delay lasts that long.
I effed that up.
Damn it. But now I got to reset. I'm not taking that take back. It was too good. It was clean.
No, hold on. I'm going to get the real one for you.
The stats backed me up. It's like perfect.
I got it.
Damn you.
Kansas City 2nd.
Thank you.
Kansas City 2nd in the league. The Patriots are 6th.
Phew.
Okay? And the top 6 or 7 or 8. Bears 1, Chiefs 2, Seahawks 3, Vikes 4, Chargers 5, Pats 6, Saints 7, Texans 8, Falcons 9, Eagles 10.
Okay.
The Rams are the lowest. They're at 11.
Okay.
Please disregard everything I said in the first.
It still applies. They're at the top of the league. Murray, were you going to say something?
No.
You're just sitting watching the train wreck as it occurs.
Pretty much.
Do you want 2016?
No. Chris in New Bedford, go, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I know strength of schedule is always a big thing, and I don't know if that's calling nerd for me, and see who had a tougher schedule going into the season. Because I look at it from my perspective, the Chiefs only won one playoff, beat one playoff team this season, which was the Chargers at the beginning of the season. The Patriots have pretty much beat every playoff team that they played during the season. So I want to take your take on that.
Okay, so in my mind's eye, I don't have him in front of me, but KC had a tough road schedule and a real easy home schedule, and yours was just sort of the opposite, which is odd because you cleaned up at home and sucked eggs on the road against bums. I can't explain that, but I think part of KC's big home numbers are about the fact they didn't play anybody at home, and their tougher games were on the road.
I mean, their losses,
which sort of ties into it to say, you know, they went on the road and lost in L.A. 54-51, 98-93. So it's like, yeah, they lost to a playoff team, but they're on the road and they lost by 4 points in the last guy. You know, like, I don't know what that. I think they're both battle tested at this point. I don't think there's one team that coasted on an easy schedule over the other. I think KC has a harder division, but pretty much everyone does. But other than that, I think that story's a wash. I do.
I mean, their four losses were to New England, the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Rams. And not one of them was by more than seven.
Right. They're all one possession games.
Pretty much. Yeah. Not pretty much exactly.
Yeah.
And in fact, the seven pointer was an outlier. The other three were by a field goal or less. So, like, you know, don't get me going on this.
No, I'll get going on it.
And the playoff teams they played on the road. The only one they lost to was the Chargers at home, and it was on the final play of the game. Like, you know, this is, again, it's like a way to discredit the opponent. They're not that good. They are good. They were the best team in the conference. They were the number one seed. They played everybody tough. Every single team. You got your ass kicked at Tennessee and Detroit, for crying out loud. If you're going to go down that road.
Don't leave out Jacksonville.
And Jacksonville. And Miami. You didn't get your ass kicked in that game, but you blew it. You gagged.
Add it to the list.
So it's just like, they're a good team. They're a good team. Yes, they lost a good competition, but three of those four games were on the road.
I'm just glad Blakeman's refereeing to catch you cheating again.
Yes,
when
Snakeman.
You happen to do it. At least he'll be there to keep things honest. No more long commercial-free segments. It's the final word right after this.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, three pieces of sound to get to here in the final word today. We'll start off with this, featuring you, Felger. We found out much more than necessary when it came to your ball gag purchase. Yes, the ball gag making an appearance once again today.
I'm a little disappointed. I've come to realize the reason it doesn't work exactly right is because it's a woman's ball gag. It's for a gal. So I think this thing should fit over my head and... The ball should really.
So you bought the woman's size.
Fill my mouth. I don't know what I did. I guess I bought the woman's one, which I'm disappointed.
You can loosen up the buckles.
I want a man's ball gag. I want a ball gag for a man.
You can find that online.
I can. I know, but then I'm a little cheap now. I got to order two ball gags. The wood's going to start to wonder what's going on.
Right. Expensive.
I want a male. I want a big, burly dude's ball gag. Because you know why, Murray?
Well, I'm sure there's a leather daddy that can help you out there, Felger. But go ahead.
Let me go to Amazon.
But here's why. I want it to hurt. Because I am take committed, right? I have from day one. This is not the Patriots' year. They're not going to do it. You know, and it all started, if you missed it, in August, I said, McBone was in here. McCone was reading updates. I said, if Brady leads this team to the Super Bowl, you can ball gag me and throw me in the corner and do whatever you want. So I have a huge bet on this, a take bet on this. And if I lose it, it's going to be painful. So I want it to hurt. I want McBone to ball gag me and kick me in the gonads, right? I want, because it's going to, I have to talk to you people on that Monday and like, oh, that whole 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a rough 2 weeks for this kid. So just make it hurt. So I want a real ball gag. Can I get a male ball gag?
I'm working on it.
Thank you.
Definitely don't see the show ever getting weirder than that moment. Really don't.
I want.
No, that's up there.
I want what the dudes use. That's what I want. Whatever the fella's going for, get me one of those. Beg one.
Well, that ball gag making an appearance today, specifically for Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, and the singing of Sunshine Day.
This all right, I need help with this, okay? It ain't just me. Here we go. Ball gagged.
All right.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Yes, mistress.
I hear you now. Just can't stay inside all day.
Oh, spank
gotta
me.
Gotta get out. Get me some of those rays.
Spank me harder, Paul.
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Can't everybody's gagging.
Bite me, Paul.
Sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
Is it very uncomfortable?
You should be. This is the creepiest this show has ever been.
I agree.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
The ball gag doesn't totally fill my whole mouth. That's the problem, you see. You can still understand a little bit.
Now, you have a big pretty mouth that needs a bigger ball.
Brady sucks. This is going to sound insane. The Pats are going to lose. They're going down, Paul.
Did you get drool all over yourself, too?
You know, a little bit. A little bit of spittle. I need a bigger ball gag.
All right. Well, finally today.
My butt's red just listening to that.
The one of the more idiotic calls
what?
Of the day.
What? Someone's spanking me.
Yeah, that just that went.
Go ahead. Go.
One of the more idiotic calls of the day came from Tom in Longmeadow, who said, when it comes to the cold on Sunday in the AFC Championship game, why didn't someone think of the fans?
Tom in East Longmeadow, you like cold weather games as a fan?
Not this cold. Absolutely not. And it's funny, you guys haven't brought up anything about the fans. I think, and this is going to, you're going to think this is off the rocker. This isn't just bad weather, guys. This is extremely dangerous weather for the fans. They're not thinking about the fans. You, just like you wouldn't play if it was a lightning storm or a hurricane or a tornado, there's no way you should be playing the game at 5 degrees. They should postpone it to either Monday or Tuesday night. It's not going to give any team a competitive advantage. They've got 2 weeks for the Super Bowl. It's a disgrace if they play that game, because if you're a fan, I've been at games, and you guys have had 20 to 25, you're not happy. It's cold. But when it gets down to 8 to 5 degrees, who in the hell says you got to play the game? You don't have to play the game.
All right.
And it's a lousy attitude for 60,000 fans who are going to – there's going to be some cardiac arrest, hey, hypothermia.
Hey, Tom.
There's going to be health issues. If you want to talk
Tom,
about
Tom, stop a Tom. Woo, okay.
There's going to be a big right. lawsuit. Matt, I got to
call. Oh, my
Tom,
God.
No, shut
stop.
Up.
He doesn't stop.
It's oh, God, sufferable.
I was going to ask him real quick where he went to college.
Why would you ask him for more?
BC? Do you go to BC? A little bad weather, we going to cancel the game? Sorry, go.
That was the worst.
Seriously, no, we got to cancel the game. It's cold. Yeah, it's cold. And you guys don't talk about the fans. You know what, Tom? You're right, because I don't care about you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.